Blessed Sunday to all of you, dear friends. You are tuned in to OLMC Sunday Best. This is a sharing of the Bible study group from the parish of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Wan Chai, Hong Kong. Join us now in reflecting on this Sunday's liturgy for our life's nourishment.
Good day, brothers and sisters. We are into the fourth Sunday of Lent Bible study. Let's greet our Lord. Let's greet our Lord. With the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O Lord, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten towards the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Very, very short liturgical note. So, fourth Sunday of Lent is the Lectare Sunday. Sunday of joy. You know, the word letare is almost like gaudete of Advent. So in Advent is the third Sunday. Lent is the fourth Sunday. But the meaning is the same, letare, rejoice.
No? Rejoice.
And that's why the entrance antiphon, you see there, rejoice Jerusalem, all who love her. That's one. The second thing is there are two sets of readings again for this Sunday because for those preparing for baptism, the RCIA students, they have their second scrutiny. That's why the missal that we have here is without the second scrutiny. This is the normal, no? Whereas for those who will have the RCIA, the baptism for Easter, they are using another set of readings that will be, I think,
Year A.
Yes. So their gospel reading will be about the blind man, yes. John 9. Okay, so
let's introduce the readings for those of you who are joining us online. The first reading is taken from the book of the Chronicles, chapter 36, verses 14 to 16 and 19 to 23. The second reading is the letter of St. Paul, who's writing to the Ephesians this time, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. And the gospel this week, again, is that according to John, chapter 3, 14 to 21. And we will start with the first reading.
Thank you. A reading from the second book of the Chronicles. In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets. Until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its palaces afire, and destroyed all its precious objects. Those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they became servants of the king of the Chaldeans and his sons, until the kingdom of the Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbath, during all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest, while 70 years are fulfilled. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. The Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever therefore among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
First of all, this is a book of, it's called the Book of the Chronicles. It's a kind of a history book. But don't worry, it is a summary of history book. It summarizes everything into two books from Adam onwards. So we should have, you know, more books. For example, in the case of the history book, as we understand it, it started from the book of Joshua, okay, and then the judges, Ruth, etc., the king, Samuel's and the kings, all right? However, this chronicle is another school. So they are writing history from their own perspective. It's a little bit different from the what we call the Deuteronomist. Okay, they have their understanding, their way of looking at history. These people, these two books would be another. But it's worth to have a different perspective. Here, it is a summary of what has been happening. You'll see the word Chaldeans actually means the Babylonians, all right? So they were talking about the kingdom of Judah. An earlier one would be the Israel, okay, the kingdom of Israel in the north, already conquered by the Assyrians. It talks about the fate of Judah, no better than the Israelites, okay, the eastern kingdom in the north. So you can see that add infidelity to infidelity, you know, something like that. They're condemning them. Mm-hmm. But don't forget, actually, in the kingdom of Judah, there's some kind of reformation by some righteous king. There are a few, not many, just a few. They try to revive the worship of Yahweh. And one of the kings called King Josiah. All right. He claimed to rediscover, okay, the book of law in the temple. Never mind. And that book becomes our Deuteronomy. All right. The scholars have this kind of connections. Now, he's talking about the fate of the kingdom, the southern kingdom, Judah. Okay, they were conquered by the Babylonians. Here it calls the Chaldeans, right? And further on, okay, you have the Persian king, that crazy king, huh? Cyrus, king of Persia. All right. He didn't have to actually fight a battle. Okay, the Babylonians welcome him because the Babylonian king, he wants to do archaeology more than ruling or waging wars to conquer man or something like that. So the Babylonians, okay, they did not put up any resistance against this rising Persian kingdom. And so they welcome this Persian king, Cyrus. And this king, if you read Isaiah chapter 40, he called him Messiah. Okay, prophet Isaiah called King Cyrus Messiah. But he's not even a Jew. So you can understand that they are looking forward to a savior, a national savior. All right, now he has one we have here. And well, what is so good about this king? This king recognize, acknowledge that, all right, the all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord, the King, the God of heaven, he knows nothing about Yahweh. Right? He simply called him. He gave all this to me. Therefore, I'm able to conquer, you know, them. All right, but one condition. He would like me, okay, to rebuild the temple, a house in Jerusalem, the temple. And that's the reason why, okay, well, I don't bother building it. Okay, whoever belongs to this God, okay, you are free now. You go back and build him the temple. So that's the story behind. Now, about the 70-year mention in Jeremiah, the paragraph there.
The last part of second
paragraph. Right, okay. It shall have rest while 70 years are fulfilled. Actually, there are two numbers. The kingdom of Judah was totally conquered, okay, in 586 BC by the Babylonians. And then the exile began, and then we call the 50 years Babylonian captivity, where they start rebuilding their own national identity by writing their own scriptures. Actually, 20 years earlier, the Babylonian kingdom has already conquered them once and exiled some people, not all the people. So together, 20 plus 50, you have this 70 years. All right. So 50 years later, this Persian king Cyrus came to liberate them. So that's the history.
And 50 and 20 together.
70.
Like one of
them. Yeah. So actually twice.
And maybe if you go back to this reading, you see here, this is a reading of judgment. Okay? Because we always try to connect why the liturgist chose this reading in connection to the gospel. Okay? So the first part is a judgment, we can say negative, no? Because all the princes of Judah, the priests and the people added infidelity to infidelity. There's really no way, because from the leaders down to the people, everybody is corrupt. Okay, so the judgment is really destruction. But then the second part after that was the rebuilding. And it's kind of amusing that even if Cyrus said, I am the king of Persia, and all the kingdoms the Lord God of heaven has given to me, there's still the Lord God of heaven who is higher than him. You know, there's the higher power. He is powerful. He is the one now ruling the earth, but then there's still God. And he has to do what God commanded him. You know, people now, no? Some don't believe in God. They say atheists, but I mean, they don't believe in a personal God, but they say there's a higher power, okay, that is ruling. So anyway, this first reading introduces us to the gospel because of the theme of judgment.
Because of the theme of joy. It's yes. Joyful, right? I mean, you've been punished for 70 years. Now you're freedom, right? Yes. It's something to be celebrated.
Now,
so I think it's chosen well for this Sunday. And by the way, it is joyful. So pay attention to the color of the vestment of the priest. It's called rose color. Don't call it pink. Huh?
Don't call it pink. Okay.
And also call it the rose deacon, color.
The deacon will wear also the same color. Okay. Okay. Good. Now, I just want to this. We said that the God of heaven has given to me. So that's what it means, that Cyrus, you know, he let the Israelites return.
Yes.
No, because yes. Did God really communicate him?
We have no idea how God spoke to him, or God revealed in the image, or he do some kind of oracle or whatever. But no matter what his feeling was, I'm able to conquer. Oh, all because of the skills of my soldiers. No good. There is a God in heaven. Oh, that's different. It's even more powerful than those soldiers, archers, and all these things.
Yes.
So we really have no idea. But the one thing is very interesting. I mean, you conquer the land, you own the people. Why do you allow them to go? That's something difficult to explain unless, okay, it is God's will.
And the interpretations, you know, as Deacon mentioned already, this is from the book of Chronicles.
Chronicles.
This is one perspective, but this was also somehow seconded by the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
In second Isaiah,
the prophecy.
This thing that the people of Judah were able to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. That's why there's a second temple.
Yeah,
so that's why even if it's a story of judgment, which seems to be very negative and, you know, ruinous and whatever, in the end, it is, let's say, a story of hope.
Yeah.
Because in the end, among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up and may his God be with him.
Hey, I belong to him, so I can go free, you know.
So let us see how this drama now plays out in the New Testament with the Gospel reading, right?
Yeah.
Who is reading
this? Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is a verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to the light, so that his works might be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Anybody who remembers who is this Nicodemus?
Nicodemus.
Anybody? Chapter 3 of
He's
John.
He's a Pharisee.
Yeah, Pharisee. He was a Pharisee,
ruler of the Jews.
You know? And he came to Jesus by night.
Night.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, nighttime because he was afraid to show himself. You see, there's a play of light here. Nicodemus came at night because he was still hiding.
Yes.
Still a secret follower. He admired Jesus, but not the others. In fact, if you follow the story of Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, you'll see towards the end, I think he would be kind of defending Jesus.
Try to.
You tried. And then he was even criticized. Why are you speaking for this man?
Yeah,
are you also from God? So, and then at the end, when Jesus died, Nicodemus was also there. No?
Together with Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah, who was anointed. And then
he buried Jesus.
Joseph was the one who offered this grave. So there is a journey for Nicodemus. So he's a very interesting person here. No? And then the other thing here is what was mentioned by Jesus. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, would you remember where in the Old Testament that happened when Moses?
Numbers 21,
when they were in the desert. And then they started grumbling against God and Moses. Why did you bring us here? And why did we have to leave Egypt, etc.? So God sent, I mean, the interpretation is God sent these serpents to tell the people. And in the end, when the people asked forgiveness, you know, so repentance, God said, okay, mount the serpent, no, on the
pole. Make a bronze serpent.
And whoever will look at that will be healed. So the instrument of, let's say, pain, torture, death became an instrument of healing and restoration. And so that is the background of this line, no? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now, the second thing is, try to count how many times the word believe.
Three times.
No, more.
Even it's more than three times?
Oh, it's over there.
One,
over
there.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5. Right? the last part of paragraph 1. Everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
This is.
And then, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish. Yeah. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn, but that the world may be saved. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe, okay, because he has not believed in him. So the theme here is very strongly faith. Faith in the Son, this Son, as the instrument of salvation. Just as in the beginning, he made a parallel, no? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man will be lifted up. But it's not enough. Even if the Son of Man was lifted up, but you do not believe, okay, it doesn't work automatically. So faith is necessary as a further step.
And coupled with intimidation. Unless you do that, it's a little bit of blackmail. You will perish. You know, it's not just voluntary faith, but a threat.
Yes, thank you. That's the other side. That's the other side. Actually, some commentators also say this is a very contradictory gospel. I mean, the Son of God gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, that might have eternal life. But the one who did not believe is already condemned. Just as Tabby was saying, no, it's really dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. You don't believe, then you're already condemned. You're already judged. There's no other way. So in a way, it's a clash. No.
Well, they're stating the reality.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Now, I mean, in front of us, you have a choice. Okay. And I'm telling you the consequences. Okay. Here you have medicine A, medicine B, and then actually one of them is a poison.
The other is the antidote.
But, you know, in Chinese herb, we make use of poison to heal some terrible, curious diseases.
Yeah, like the snake, no?
Oh,
the snake
yes.
can be used as a medicine, right?
No, the snake is not that. There is other things. Even, pei sheng, you know, I don't know, in English, what is that? Yeah, a little bit of cyanide, but pei sheng is arsen, is A-A-R or A-S something, all right? Now, it's the quantity, in Chinese service,
the
like that, the dose, all right? Mm-hmm. The dose is very crucial, okay? For you, probably 0.01 gram will save you, but probably you're too anxious, you want to be healed very eagerly, then you die. Like that, all right? It's stating the facts. Yes, stating the facts here. Okay, so so God is saying I'm laying before you two paths. All right, you follow this path. All right, because it's challenging to believe in such a man hanging on the cross. Who would believe him, right? So I mean, Paul said what? Okay, it's the Jews want signs. The
foolishness of God.
Right, and then it's foolish to believe in a crucified criminal for ordinary people. So, I mean, it's really challenging to follow the instruction.
Yeah.
All right, if you follow the prescription, I should say, not just instruction, all right, follow this
prescription
so that you will be healed. And you believe.
Yeah.
You believe in this man?
And then there is also the imagery of light and darkness. You know, they say it is very strong at the end, no? The light and darkness. So that's the insider and the outsider. The ones who chose to stay in the dark and the ones who want to go in the light. This is actually a repetition of the prologue. You remember in the prologue, the light came into the world, but they hated the light. Yeah. So this is, let's say, an invitation. Are you stepping into the light or do you want to do your works in the darkness? No, the condemnation is there. For everyone who does wicked things, hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. In real life, is it true?
I think this is a choice that you're given when you're not really given a choice. Prohibits you from choosing the alternative, which is condemnation.
Some people really don't care. Okay, I deliberately, you tell me to go to the east, I deliberately go to the west.
Reverse psychology.
I mean, just like there must be reasons behind. For example, Jonah. God told him to go to the west. No good. I hate those Jews.
But you repented.
Well, I doubt very much he really repented.
It's a story.
Jonah.
The story of Jonah is really
funny. Yeah, I mean, the case of Jonah.
I appreciate what David, you are struggling with the text.
It's clear, but if you look at it in the 21st century interpretation, that Hong Kong and all countries embrace diversity. If you don't want to believe, that's perfectly all right. You have the freedom not to believe.
Right.
It's the law that counts. It's not your belief that counts.
Even law, it's man-made. They agree. All right? For example, today they say, okay, same-sex marriage, no good, because we do not make enough money. But when same-sex marriage makes a lot of money, no, good. All right, let's pass the law.
It's really just the money. But just to let you know, Stevie is not only in Hong Kong or other parts. Even the Philippines, I have met one. This is a philosophy symposium. And then somebody mentioned about the Immaculate Conception. And one of the philosophers stood up and said, okay, so there's Immaculate Conception, but what is that to me? You mean it doesn't enter into their world. Okay, so there are people who have already determined that this is my world. I stay in this darkness. I do my things here. So you have this. The verdict is done because it's your choice. You are right when you said it's a choice. But people,
we shouldn't label them as being derogatory darkness. You know, it's their freedom of choice. According to 2,000-year-old, whoever wrote this, Jesus, the inverted commas stopped here, so he didn't say the rest of his.
No, the rest is spoken by John. The rest is, reflections
Jesus
of John.
Said in quotation marks this, but all the rest is not from
John.
Jesus.
It's John.
Right,
it's
John's reflection.
Like Bill, or whoever wrote John is
the writer
making this condemnation. But I don't think it's right for us in the 21st century to condemn those who are different. We invite
this.
You're invited.
So
diversity.
So on
we
that note,
participation by all.
Yeah. So on that note, let's finish off with the second reading and then we can open up for discussion. So the second reading, just as by the way of introduction, carries on the theme that we already heard of. One is obviously the joy of salvation. We heard this throughout the readings during Lent, the covenant, the promise of salvation. But the important precondition to salvation is belief or faith. And Paul tells the Ephesians the same message.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians.
Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgression, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I think one of the lines that resonates is, it's not by our works, but it's by the grace of God that we have been saved because of our faith. So Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's also saying that regardless of your ethnic diversity, whether you're a Jewish or a Gentile, everybody will be saved with faith. And he's obviously telling us the same. Salvation, what does that mean? It means union with God. When we believe, we're already in union with God, we're already saved. But full salvation is in the future, when after the resurrection. Salvation, as you can see, is actually very easy. Anyone can partake in this salvation. We only need to simply believe in Christ and have faith in him. And it's Christ's salvation that is made possible to us. And let's remember, this is coming up, is through his death and resurrection, the Paschal mystery, as we will be celebrating over the Holy Week. So we can now open it up for discussion and comments.
Yes.
Perhaps we start with those joining us online. Feel free to just unmute yourself. Thank you.
Just a question or just a comment perhaps, because I just heard from him that salvation is quite easy. And it is, I do believe. But how come a lot of Catholics are finding it hard?
I think we also make it complicated for ourselves as well. And I think at the end of the day,
that's why I always said it's simple and it's a good news. It's supposed to be easy. And I just heard it from that. It's easy. But really, sometimes when I'm with a group of Catholics, also when we're having Zoom, also they just always find it hard. And so that's the thing. Anyway, so that's just a comment. And like, I'll just like also to point this one, because the verb in here were all in past tense. It's something like we were raised, that's past tense, and then we are seated up in the heaven with him. So we don't notice, because I saw it's past tense. We should be there already, seated in the heavens with Christ, and we are also raised up. So that's why I always saying is, I'm living in the resurrected Christ. And I already noticed that Sister Victoria is always mentioning about the resurrected Jesus. So it really is the way to go. Because I see in here, so I should have taught myself to be really raised up in a new life, a new creation, and seated in the heavens with him, because they are all past tense in here. So that's my, I love all the readings today. I mean, for tomorrow. So it's just really good to be in Christ. That's all.
Yes, it does bring the message of joy and very much in line with the upcoming celebration. Thank you.
You know, Jay, what you mentioned there, the very last part you say, it's just good to be in Christ. That expression, in Christ, in St. Paul,
is not an indifferent expression. It's like in Christ means Christ is my home. Okay? So if you live in that home in Christ, which means you believe and then you follow, you know, or the values of Christ, then you can really say you're already dead, dead in sin, no, and raised up in grace. That's why it's past tense. Okay? It's past tense because you are doing it in Christ. You are, when we say we are participating in the Paschal mystery of Christ, that is really the meaning of our baptism.
Yeah.
And that is why we can live in hope. I mean, sometimes you are so burdened by so many things. And he said, what is the point of living?
What's the point of suffering?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. You have people like that.
But,
you
know? I mean, because all of us is a creature of history. However hard we try to forget, to repress our memory, our pains, or whatever, it's still part of us. You cannot just finish, disappear. No, impossible. We are carrying it. And I love Jesus because he carries the wounds even after resurrection. He acknowledged our pain.
Didn't erase the wounds.
Yeah, he's not going to erase it. Pit, disappear, no good. He said, no, wrong. Carry it.
So, I think he knew because Thomas would ask. I said, I will not believe until I see the wounds and I touch his side. So we have people like that.
Everything.
We have people like that said, I will not believe without seeing the proof. And sometimes our faith is like, if you are, I didn't know. I watch a series in Netflix. It's called Dr. House. And one of the episodes lately was, it's really a contest between House, Dr. House, and God because of a faith healer. And, you know, the struggle about believing in God, no?
It's not easy.
But it can be done. Meaning to say, we can totally believe in someone, in somebody, but sometimes we cannot live up to our belief. And God knows that. He was the one who made us. He knows that we could not totally live up to our belief. And that's why he's given us all these sacraments, no? Of confession, sacrament of reconciliation. And that is one of the joys of this Sunday. One of the joys of this Sunday is we are all being called to repent. Yeah. Now, even if we are suffering here, you know, the responsorial psalm is about lamentation. The responsorial psalm has a version in, we were talking before the Bible study, you know, which is very joyful, but actually it's a lament. Yeah. Let my tongue be silenced if ever I forget you. This is people in Babylon.
Yeah, by the people by the river of Babylon.
They were in Babylon exiled, so near the river they are lamenting. And the ones who let them go into exile were asking them for a song. How can we sing a song? So Father Locke was telling me, that is still happening now. The people, the Hong Kong people now in England feel also their exile, or maybe, I don't know, in some other parts of the world. And how could they sing this song? And yet, that's still a sign of hope.
Yep.
Okay? Even if we live with contradictions, we believe, no, that we are already inserted into this mystery of Christ. Our baptism, no, has already inserted us. That's why if you have nothing else to bring after this Bible study, just that word, in Christ.
Mm.
Yeah, I live in Christ. So in Christ means my home is Christ. And that will already give us a certain amount of, in the midst of all the struggles. Because our pains will not go away. Our struggles will be there.
Yeah,
and they're very uplifting. Their golden words. I'll carry them with me. I just feel sorry for those who are not included, because it says, for we are his handiwork, for we, as in everyone in the whole wide world, who's a human being, are his handiwork. But this is just outlining the beautiful benefits of having faith and receiving his grace. But what about the majority who do not? You know, how do we deal with, do we just forget about those ones who are not benefiting of, benefiting of his grace? You know, I just feel sad. Those, I don't want to call them those in darkness.
No, we can live in a very loving way. So they say, ah, there's something about this person. She is in Christ, the role model.
No, I'm just saying those who are not.
Yeah, so
that's the majority.
You don't have to be sad because you are a good role model.
And Stevie, that's why we're having this as a podcast. No, that's why this is a podcast, meaning we still share it to others. This is not just
that's
for us. Okay, so maybe with other questions.
Yes, I have a little question. Because I have read that celebration of resurrection, because it was Jesus defeated death and hope of salvation. Why others will say, I already have salvation, but that's what there's a word hope. Why there is a hope, sister? Well, how you think that this
Jesus
word
Christ
hope
is, in fact, one of the, I think in Colossians, Christ, our hope of glory.
So it doesn't mean that it's already, because
the salvation there, as long as you are in Christ, I guess is sure. That's why others can really feel that they are already there. The of Corinthians, that was the crisis of the Corinthians, right? The community of St. Paul, this is Ephesians, but the community in Corinthians really thought they were already in that other world. That's why no more marrying, no more, because they're, but then Paul still called them to the reality. They're still the struggle of this world.
So that means when we say we're in Christ, means we still have a lot of things to do,
still.
Not just I'm in Christ, period. So there's still so many things that we need to follow. So
don't worry. God will shake you up.
Christ, thank God. Why? What is happening to me? Oh, so.
So we're stressed again.
So don't worry. Okay.
Just want to share, because in the other religion, I hear that, no, I have nothing to worry. I'm in Christ. But they're not doing things. So I'm sorry for the language.
No, we still have our.
What we do.
Yes.
Look at these two role models. look at all the things that they do.
Yeah. Look at father-in-law.
And he doesn't
stop. Yes. Every one of us is in Christ, but.
No,
people will. Some people will say, "I'm not doing enough. I have to do more," to make themselves feel comfortable and safe. But there are people who say, I have done enough. I believe God enough. So God will, lead me to heaven. I don't have to worry. And then continue his life in a joyful way. Okay, joy, don't forget, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Actually, I think many of us probably worry too much. But there are people who are able to see through things and then, I enjoy the company. Look at Mary and Martha. Martha keeps working. And Mary, she's not working.
Yes,
she's sitting and listening. Then she's saved. And Jesus said, hey, she's a model. She has chosen the better part, right? So God will shake you up when time comes, all right?
Any other thoughts?
I just had one as you were talking, very inspirational. Gives me great opportunity to think around this issue. What about the many who are left out of faith? We are asked to love your enemy. They are not in the faith, but the commandment says what is love? Forgiveness, embracing, inviting, treating them equally. No derogatory labels, that they are just as valuable Yeah. Even though they are not in the faith.
So, yeah.
You know, totally, thank you for giving me that.
Totally agreed. In fact, that's why we're still doing this thing, because this is something that we're not just keeping on our for our own group. Mm-hmm. That's why we are also podcasting this, just in case. So it's true. There is still evangelization to be done. There is welcoming.
And the church is making progress, even though in a very total way. Previously, the church claims that there is no salvation outside the church.
Before,
so Buddhist, I mean, how can you blame those old theologians? They study this, and they have power. They feel safe, and then they were challenged by scientists. Hey, you are not scientific. They're challenged by the Muslims. Hey, you do not follow me. Chop chop chop! Killed you. Even today, Pope Francis, in the month of March, mm-hmm. he tell us to pray for the new martyrs. Do we have martyrs today? I mean, Christians, Catholic martyrs? Yes, we have.
Yes.
In the Middle East, many of the churches were being destroyed, Christians murdered. Yes.
Gaza,
Gaza. Gaza. That's the reason why Pope Francis, in March, he tells us to pray for the new martyrs every day.
Yes.
In Pakistan, not Gaza.
In Turkey also.
You know, a lot of places. Hong Kong is really a blessed place. Mm-hmm. We are enjoying relative stability and peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we don't feel it so much, you know. But there are really so many suffering.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, we accept that also, Stevie. Don't worry. Even our prayer for Palestine, you know, is
Pakistan.
Also Palestine.
Ukraine. Don't forget.
Ukraine. Yes. So we bring them with us. In fact, when we pray this psalm now as the closing, you know?
Yeah.
The closing is on
which is not condemn them. They condemn themselves.
We are giving voice to them as we praise this psalm. Because this is really, as we said, this is a psalm of lament.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is the other contradiction as we end our Bible study, because we said Letare Sunday of joy, and yet we are singing a lament.
Did you say late? I saw that word.
Letare, L-A-E-T.
Latin.
Yeah.
Latin word.
It's from Laetitia. Laetitia is joy.
Laetitia. Rejoice. This word, rejoice, in Latin.
See.
Okay.
Letare Sunday.
All right. Letare Sunday. Okay.
So let us recite the responsive psalm together. Yeah. Let my tongue
speak silence if I ever forget you. But the streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remember Zion. On the aspens of that land we hung up our harps. For there our keepers asked of us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be joyous, sing for us the songs of Zion. How could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. May my tongue cleave to the palate if I remembered you not. If I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy, let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the almighty and merciful God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to OLMC Sunday Best. Please join us again next week for another episode. Have a blessed Sunday, everyone.